after all those titles, everybody just say, "Hey, dude." That's good, because I'm a dude first, you know? No. Actually, I'm a son first, and I'm a brother second. And any title I have is really a function. And so I love being a father. I have my son-in-law and my daughter here, and I have my wife here. So that's another title. Do you know you have titles? Everybody in this room has titles. And we live in a culture sometimes that doesn't like titles. But I think being a son, that's an awesome title. I think being a father, it's great. Anyways, how many are meeting Ann and I for the first time? How many you've never met me? All right. Well, I was born and raised. I'm good now. You got me. I was born and raised in La Crescenta, and I live in Tujunga, right behind the cross, the cross there. And so, I am in town, and it's really fun. I'll be going to actually Bulgaria this month, and the book that you can get is in 12 languages, including Bulgarian. And I'll be also going to Russia this year, and a lot of other countries. Good news is, I'll take you with me. I want to take you to Kenya with me. I'll take you like Jesus did in Luke 9, and I'll drop you off in a village for 6 hours, and you know, see what you can do, you know. And no, I'm serious. I believe in you, and I believe you're activated. Today they said the word is victory. And you know, Jesus said the Son can do nothing by himself. He only does what he sees the Father doing. And so this morning during worship, I'm asking you, Father, what are you doing today? And what I saw was, I looked down and I looked at my shoes in the spirit. I wasn't wearing these. I was wearing like these kind of like worn out, dirty boots. And suddenly I said, "Lord, what are you doing today?" And instantly I got brand new running shoes. You know, I used to run track. I ran track at CV High School right over here, you know. And when I thought of the verse about run the race. Yes. And 1 Corinthians 9:4, it says, look, at everyone who runs the race doesn't get the prize. Run the race to win the prize. That's, by the way, 1 Corinthians 9:4. And today, right now, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to see your running shoes. You are going to sprint. You're going to chase your destiny and the purpose that God has given you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I was a local church pastor down by the airport in Hawthorne, and then also up in Portland, Oregon. And I got a lot of questions as a pastor. But one of the main questions I got from people is, what is my purpose? What was I created for? I mean, I'm talking people that had been Christians for 20, 30, 40 years, all their life. They were still often asking the question, what is my purpose? Has anybody ever asked that? Okay. And you know, there's a lot of ways to go about that. But yesterday. But you know, one of the ways that I really, really found my calling was, I was a Baptist pastor. Then we became Bapticostals. The Holy Spirit ruined my church. He wanted to take over. Could you believe that? He wanted control. He wanted to be the head of the church. He wanted to be the vine and wanted me to be a branch. And that was radical, because I had to let go of everything I knew and all control and ask the Holy Spirit to teach me. And so I didn't even know my calling. I didn't feel like I was a pastor. Because when people would come and tell me their problems, I would say, when are you going to get over it? Okay? Now, that wasn't very effective as a pastor. But I had people who knew how to comfort you. And so I thought, man, I got to raise people up. It's like in this church, did you know that you have an inner healing ministry? I am so excited about it. It's called RTF. Yes. How many knew about that? Yep. I want you to know RTF is one of the highest trained inner healing and deliverance ministries I know in the world.
Amen.
And you have it in your church right here. And so see Kathy, Hannah, for more information, raise your hand, Kathy. And if you have an application out there, make sure you do that. You see, what I started to realize is that as a local church pastor, I had gifts that were where I was strong, but I had a lot of areas where I was weak. But I wasn't trained in seminary. how to raise people up. Drummer, I like that. I wasn't really trained how to look at you and see the calling on your life. I didn't know how to raise people up because I basically was taught to run a church. But I started to change, and what changed was how I looked at everyone. I could look at this passionate sister who really is so full of compassion, right?
Yeah.
Right? You're compassionate.
Yes,
you're just
I am.
Overflowing.
Yes,
see, I don't even know. I've never met her, but I can start seeing that anointing.
We know each other.
Okay. Oh, we know each
you're
other?
You're my pastor.
All right. I don't. Bless you. Okay, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble.
But you were right.
I was right. And I see it all over. And so what happens is, and then during this time, people started prophesying over me, and they said, you have an apostolic anointing. And I said, what's an anointing? I didn't ask what apostolic was. I asked, what's anointing? And I studied every verse in the Bible on oil and on being called. And what I found was that the word anointing, the way we use it, we say, oh, that person's anointed. That person has a lot of power. That person, you know, when the Spirit comes upon them, that, you know, they really know how to move in the glory. But when I looked in Scripture, those things were true. Anointing was when people were set apart for a purpose. So priests, when they poured the oil on the priest's head, there was a purpose that came with it.
Yeah. Amen.
And there was a calling that came with it.
Yeah.
In other words, you're anointed. By the way, how many in this room are anointed? I believe every one of you are. But here's the key. You're anointed for a purpose. Meaning you have a call in your life. And you know what? Less than 1% work on a church staff. Mm-hmm. And staff's not a disease, like what I told you last week, yesterday. In fact, the truth is that the role of anyone who's a leader is to equip the people. And you know what? I go around the world, and I don't find people who really know how to equip. They try to do the ministry themselves. Now, your church is different. Your church is really going for it. And I just love it. I love your announcements. I love what you're doing. I love the involvement. I met with your leaders yesterday. I was very impressed. I meet with leaders all over the world. I found such an active team.
Amen.
Just quickly, I have this. Everything I say today is, well, not everything, but mostly is in this book called The Five Fingers of God. Give God Glory. It's now, like I said, in 12 languages. And it's really awesome. I'm going to give this to you, Pastor. All the way from India, New Delhi. And that's awesome. The other one's called Relational Transformation. And this is basically when you hear the word apostle and it's new to you, and you go, that's kind of weird. This book explains what we mean by the title. It doesn't mean that these are special people that are more important. It means that they have a function.
That's right.
To bring transformation to regions in the world, okay? And you can be a part, and there's that book. And then lastly, if you want to overcome condemnation, my wife has a devotional. She memorized the book of Galatians, and it helps you go through that. So I want you to look with me this first slide. Anointing, Jesus, when he began his earthly ministry, how many know he was 30 years before he started his earthly ministry? All right. And what happened was, is that when Jesus went to Nazareth, his hometown, he took the scroll of Isaiah, and he could have gone anywhere, but he turned to Isaiah 61 because he wanted to tell them that I'm anointed. In other words, I'm not that young boy or that carpenter, Joseph and Mary's son. I'm also anointed and I've been set apart. You see, they'd heard about, when he went to the desert after the baptism, he was doing miracles, and on the way, the first place he went, his goal was to go to Nazareth. And he said this, go ahead and put that up there, Luke chapter 4. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me. Now, does he stop there? This is very important. I want you to say this with me right now. The Spirit of the Lord is on me.
Because he's anointed me.
For a purpose. And Jesus goes and he declares five purposes or five ways that his anointing is going to manifest itself. That's the fivefold gifts. This is called gifts from above. He says these are the five ways that the anointing is going to be released through my life. To proclaim what? To preach good news to the poor.
Yeah.
Thank you, Clayton, for teaching us more about that.
Amen.
He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Yeah. Debbie, thank you for teaching us on Saturdays how to be free through the Word of God. Amen. As a teacher. He's to be recovery of sight for the blind. Oh, he's going to open the prophetic windows. Thank you, Jeannie, for teaching us how to prophesy.
Yeah.
All right. He's going to release the oppressed.
Yeah.
Oh, pastoral. That's the pastoral love. Thank you, JR and Rachel, for showing us what the love of Jesus looks like, because you're anointed for that purpose. Notice how I'm connecting people to the anointings for their purpose. And then it says, lastly, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It's a declaration. It's an apostolic authority. Just like you're hearing today, you will come into victory. That is an apostolic declaration of your life. And you can grab it.
Yeah. Yes.
And so that's what Jesus is saying. I'm not only anointed, but I'm anointed for a purpose. Now, I go to Nazareth every year. Does anybody want to go to Israel?
Yes.
Okay, I can take you there. We're going to go next October 22nd, Brian Simmons. We did a trip with 150 last year. You can have your own bus with me. I've got terrible bad jokes. I'm sorry. I've, you know, all kinds of mud jokes because it's puns and everything. But it's fantastic with the Brian's on the word. The decree. Now, I want to show you something. Ephesians 4:11 says that it was some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. In other words, Jesus is declaring those five over his life. Go to the next slide there, if you can. We'll look at that. Jesus is saying, I'm anointed for a fivefold ministry. Because what he's saying is, go ahead and put them all up there if you don't mind, is the evangelistic is the preach the good news to the poor. The teaching is you're sent to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Why? Because that sets you free. The prophetic is recovery of sight for the blind. Pastoral is release the oppressed. And the apostolic is to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I just want you to see in one word. Now, everybody take out your hand like this. And this is how you remember the fivefold. And I know some of you know all this, but if you don't, the apostolic is what touches all the fingers. Okay? It touches every ministry. The prophetic is this finger, and it points the way. Okay? The evangelistic is the longest finger, so it reaches out the farthest. Right, Clayton? Man, I'll tell you what he's doing. I'll drive anybody to church. I'll go anywhere. I'll get you Starbucks on the way. Can you pick me up next week with Starbucks? That'd be great. No, I'm kidding. I mean, I think that's an amazing heart. He reaches out the farthest. The next one is the pastoral. That's the love finger. Okay?
Yeah.
And then the last one's the teacher, and that's the one that cleans out our ears. Okay? Something more significant. You dig for deeper, smaller truths. Okay. Debbie, do you feel better now? And if you go to the next slide, what happens is that Jesus, I want you to know, Jesus is connecting, and this is what I want you to do right now, the gifts from above. I'm going to connect my anointing now with a specific expression like Jesus did. And even though I am anointed and I love Jesus, I have a specific kind of calling. Yes, can I have all five to a certain measure? But I believe every one of you have a specific anointing, which I call a primary one, and the next one is a secondary one. So go ahead and put up those slides, and I've just put this there. I believe that every person has been given at least one of the fivefold gifts. Now, it's like, why? What do I base this on? In traditional Pentecostal teaching, they teach you that only the people with the office have a fivefold. But how do you get to if it's only the people in office, how do they get there? Do they jump in a phone booth, come out, big K, big P, prophet? No, they're raised up at the School of Prophets night.
That's right. Amen.
They have an anointing and a purpose, but they haven't come yet into the office. They haven't come into the yet to their purpose, but the anointing is there. And in my book, you look at, there's five levels. That's not in the Bible. I'm just observing. It's five levels of authority, because we don't want everyone who's prophetic to say, oh, I'm now a prophet. No, you don't call yourself a prophet. The church calls you a prophet. We don't need people appointing themselves with titles, because it's not even about titles anyway. And when we give titles, like, is it hard to call Clayton an evangelist?
No.
Oh my goodness. I mean, it's obvious. Is it hard to call her a prophet?
No.
No. Meaning the people that get titles are the ones that walk in it so powerfully. Everybody goes, hey, that's one. Otherwise, don't worry about titles. I'm not calling you a title today, but I'm saying you're anointed. And listen to this. Listen to this verse. I want you to read this with me. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it.
That's good.
Tell the person next to you, that includes you then.
That includes you.
Tell the person in your seat, that includes you. No, really. See, the implication is that everyone has been given at least one. I believe that you have, I call it one and a half, because I believe you have a primary and a secondary. And yes, you can be a fivefold mutt. You can have a measure of each because you have Jesus. But I believe that there's a primary purpose in your life complemented by a secondary that helps you come into your purpose.
That's good.
The second thing is it infers that there's different levels or measurements. Meaning, you're not all given the same. That's okay. You know, I go all over the world. I'll probably be in 12 nations this year. And what I'm going to tell you right now, and I get to impact the church in all those nations. But what I'm going to tell you, I mean with all my heart. I am not more important than you. I'm not more anointed than you. I'm not more special than you. I just have a specific calling and a lane. And I know what it is, and I'm doing it. But local church, I mean, a ministry in a local church or to have a local church, it's a very high calling. But also you in your vocation, where you work, where you live, where you bank. I'm serious. When I go into the bank, they all know me. And I've prophesied almost everybody in that bank that works there. Because wherever you go, you have a sphere of influence and authority. Because you're anointed. I even, you know, believe so much that I'm anointed.
That's good.
Even when I don't feel like it.
Right.
Or look like it.
Yeah.
And it infers there's different levels, meaning I know that I have to grow. So let's say this is the beginning of the anointing that I have. Like God's called me to be a prophet or an apostle, for example. And I'm going to chase that. And there's a measure given to me. Okay? So here's the measure. The fullness of this measure is all the way over here. How many of you want to do the full measure? How many want half? The pizza delivery person shows up and you open it up and there's half a pizza. It's got a little cheese or tomato sauce there on his lip, you know? What are you going to say? Is anybody here going to go, it's okay, you were hungry? Oh, you're a little more mature than me. I'd probably say, where is the other half of the pizza? You know what, I want to say something in love. I meet most people I meet, and I pastor or disciple, there are times where I think I want their destiny more than they want theirs.
Wow.
You have to choose it. You have to say, if the Bible says I've been given a gift, and it's got a measure, number one, I'm going to know that gift, and number two, I'm going to chase to find out what that measure is. That's what we want for every one of you. Because again, we believe every one of you has a purpose. Go to the next slide. Oh, the next part here is, now, this verse is in 1 Corinthians 12:7. You've already studied this a few weeks ago. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit has been given for the common good. Now how's that verse similar to Ephesians 4:7 up there?
To each.
To each. It includes everyone. But I want to show you the difference. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So it's a manifestation of how the Spirit expresses Himself, right? Whereas verse 7, it says it's been given to you and it's been measured and it's specifically for you. Let me give you an example about this. Let's say we're going to have Paul here says we're going to have a healing meeting. And Paul's moving in healing. Woo! But suddenly, sorry, Paul has a really, he's got a conflict that night. Suddenly, someone in his family, he really needs to be there for them. He goes there, and we come to the meeting. Do we go, oh no, Paul's here. Paul's not here. We don't have healing. Would we say that?
No.
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 Because, yeah, we'd order pizza. That's very good. Hopefully it'll all come. See, the manifestations of the Spirit means that when where the Spirit is, the manifestations can always be present.
That's right.
Yes. That's good. Amen. That's true.
Okay, that's from the gifts of above.
Amen.
But if Paul was our strongest prophetic teacher, he was a prophet, and we had hardly anybody knew anything about prophecy, and we showed up, guess what? We would miss out on what Paul carried. Because Paul carries it. Now, could the spiritual gifts happen? Yes. But the revelation, the teaching, the equipping that God gave him wouldn't be present. Did you follow that? So the difference is that the Spirit will express himself in these nine spiritual gifts, but you are unique in that what you carry can only be released through you.
Hallelujah.
That's why Ephesians 4:16 says that as each part does its work, the body is built up in love. Meaning, we need everybody to be part. We don't want to, is there a family here? Family together, sitting together? Anybody? Well, our family right here. Which one is the most important in our family?
Glenn.
Oh, Glenn. The dogs, right, Glenn? Any other families? Which one of you is most? Which one's the most important in your family? You see, that's a weird question, isn't it?
Yeah.
But when I come to the church, that's a family, how come all of a sudden there's important people and not important people in some of our minds?
Come on now.
We're a family. Every one of you. We wouldn't say, who's the most important person here? And if you go, oh, pastor, no. He doesn't believe that. He believes he is important to you. He wants to serve you, but he doesn't think he's more important than you. Everybody in this room. See, the fivefold is not not about just some random gift that kind of exists out there. It's something that we carry and we possess. And it teaches us. The 1 John 2:20 says that you've received an anointing because you know the truth. And 1 John 2:27 says that the anointing will teach you. Amen? Go to the next one there. This is just real quick, the five benefits. The verses afterward are, why do we have the fivefold ministry? Why is it even important? Well, if you look here, go ahead and put them all up there, yeah. All five are just simply these. It's to prepare God's people for works of service. That's to equip. Meaning, if we have mature people, they equip. Less mature leaders just do all the ministry and make you watch. That's immature leaders. Oops, I'm not trying to step on any toes here, but why? Because maturity. How many of you, as mature parents, as your children matured, said, no, we want you to still act like you're 5 years old? How many moms want to tell the 33-year-old, this is what I want you to wear today? How many of you want your children to mature?
Yes, please.
And that's what this is about. The fivefold is like fathering and mothering. It's leading. It's equipping people. It's building people up. Everyone. How about if you don't feel very evangelistic? Does everybody have to look like Clayton?
No.
We just learn from his heart. All the fivefold, we learn from them.
Yeah.
But you know what? Some of us are different. Some of us are teachers. Some of us are more the caregivers. We'd rather sit there and just hold people. Love on them. Hey, working together, though, that's a pretty good combination. Reaching out and holding them and loving them, that works. And then Debbie comes along and teaches them. And then you come along and help them hear the voice of God. And then you come along and help them discover the destiny and the bigger picture. I mean, that's how the fivefold works. It's a family. Till we reach unity. I'm going to say this very direct to you. Do you know what the number one thing that hinders your destiny is? Attack in relationships. A church needs to be the place to show you what safety, what it really looks like to believe in people, trust them, and encourage them. This church is working on that. They really want you to know, not just in name, but you really are accepted. And that you do belong.
Amen.
And you know what? Until we really come into that kind of relationship and unity, I want to tell you this. Your destiny isn't a ministry. Your destiny is to love Jesus with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. But guess how you love them the most? Through your giftings. Because you can do things that others can't. We become mature. How many of you are mature? Yesterday, the leaders took in a mature assessment tool to find out how mature they were. Why do we do that? Because every one of us can grow.
We're not putting our hands up.
We're not putting our hands up.
We're not doing it.
We're on journey.
I want to know how I'm supposed to grow right now. Am I supposed to grow in my ability to hear God's voice? Do I want to grow in my ability to forgive others? Mm-hmm. Do I want to grow in my ability to be aligned with leaders?
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is, here, to become the full measure. That's the full pizza, right? More greater than that, the full measure of Christ. I want everything God has for me.
Amen. Come on.
Amen. Amen.
Let's do it. Amen.
And I believe everything from God is good. All the spiritual gifts.
Amen.
You know, people that go, oh, those aren't for today, or we can't do that, or that's over. I don't believe that. I believe the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit will express Himself. And I believe that, yes, gifts will end when Jesus returns and perfection comes, which is Jesus Christ, who died for us, rose again, and He said, like I left, I will come back and get you. And that's when perfection comes and you'll be given a new body. Which comes first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken. I totally believe it. I really partly ask this because I go to Kenya a lot over the years, and I've had so many chickens run through my meetings. So they understand what I'm saying. But I believe that you cannot be mature in something unless you have people who can help train you and equip you and sustain you. You're a newborn baby, you don't just go, all right, now you're home, you got the crib, hope everything works out for you. That's what some churches do, you know. Some churches do that. Oh, yeah, glad you came to Christ. Here, read this thick Bible and, you know, and do all this, you know. No, we want to tell you, if you came to Christ or if you're going to come to Christ today, we want to tell you this. You are deeply and profoundly loved.
Amen.
God created you and knew you before He formed you. Before you were born, He set you apart for a purpose. And today, we want anyone who doesn't know Jesus to start at that point, that love relationship. But for those of you who are in Christ, let's take a step and run this race better than we ever have. Go to the next slide there. So I just want to declare this again. I know I've stated these. 1 John 2:27, I quoted it, but as for you, the anointing you receive from Him remains in you. That anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it's taught you, remain in Him. You know, I told you earlier that I was told that I had an apostolic anointing. And this is what changed my life, what I just shared with you. I started to look in the mirror, and I'd wake up in the morning. Some days one eye was closed. I called it the pirate. You know how it is when you wake up. And I started doing something that changed my life. You know what I did? I started declaring what Jesus did over His life. I thought, if that's my example, I'm going to do it.
Wow.
So I looked in the mirror and I said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And I looked at me, did you know you're anointed? Say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, and you've been anointed for a purpose.
That's right. Yeah.
And then as I started to mature, and the purpose is, I didn't just say apostolic, but I hadn't even been going to the nations, but I believed it by faith. Your purpose is you're going to release freedom, and you're going to release people into their destiny and nations all over the world.
Amen.
I'd never done it, but I was just proclaiming it. In fact, I even went to God and said, God, apostles, I don't even know, are apostles even for today? And He said, yes, and you're called to be one. And I go, that's the devil, you know. I don't even believe in that stuff. And then the Lord said, don't seek the title. Seek the function. I'm going to train you what it looks like. And you know what? Like, I just got an email just this week from Russia. And they're like saying, when you come, will you help us start a prophetic movement in this city? Not like come and do a meeting. Come start a prophetic movement. And I didn't just get there overnight. I did it. It started here. I started believing God. Do you know, I think it is humble. You know, when people go, oh yeah, you're really anointed. You're anointed for this, you know, you're really great, you know, breaking off strongholds. And you go, oh no, no, it's not me. It's just God, you know, it's just the Spirit. We think that's humble. It's not humble. You know what's humble? Believing God. Amen. And if God says, I have given you an anointing to break strongholds, Kathy, and you break strongholds and people are set free, you don't sit there and go, oh no. Yeah, you give glory to God. He's the vine and we're the branch. But you say, He chose me.
That's right.
To be a part of His purpose. And I will be obedient. And if He calls me to set people free, I will do it with all of my heart. So guess what? If you go down, you say, how do you know which of these fivefold you have? Or what are the ones that others have? How do you know? What does it look like practically?
Yeah.
So I'm going to show you right now before I close. It doesn't take long. 10, 15 minutes, we'll be done. And I'll help you know what. But guess what? It's not enough for you to know which one of the fivefold is. You have to. That's not the point. The point is that you've got a blueprint, and it's going to help point the way for you to grow and mature towards your destiny. Okay? All right, let's go to the first one. First one I like to do is the pastoral. Some of you in this room, I'm not calling you a pastor. I'm saying you're pastoral. First of all, you really have a genuine concern for others. The first thing when you meet people is you really say, how are they doing? Are they okay? Right? Go to the, you love to listen. You ask good questions. Keep going, yeah. Just keep going. Thank you. You follow up. You ask people, hey, how did it go with the doctor? How did it go? How's it going with your son? You follow up. You notice the pastoral people here, you know who's not here today. Because you look around, hey, I wonder, oh, and you don't go, hey, they said they were going to be at church. You're saying, hey, are they okay?
Yeah.
People come to you because they know that you care. Right? People seek you out. You know, I had a, in my church in Portland, Oregon, I had this woman. Her name was Heather. And she'd always come to me. She goes, what's my purpose? And I'd say, Heather, what was your week like? Oh, well, on Tuesday, you know, someone called and said, I really need to talk. Can I come over? And she came over and I prayed with her. You know, and then, you know, I get phone calls. People wanting me to pray with them and just listen to them. And I can imagine her like this. God, what is my purpose? Hold on, God. Someone's at the door. You know, come on in. How are you doing? Oh, I'm so sorry you're going through that. I love you and it's going to be okay and everything. Okay, and then they leave. Go back. God, show me my purpose. Oh, hold on, God. Someone's calling. Oh, and I'm so sorry you're going through that with your son. Can I pray with you?
That's good.
She was looking for like a title or some position in the church, and she didn't realize that she was pastoring so many people. I told her, you're one of the strongest pastoral people I have in the church. Why? Because it's not a title, it's a function. I had another man, he's in the police department. He's a sheriff, and he's pastoral, and God put a pastoral call in his life. And he was called to pastor the entire sheriff department. He was actually called to pastor sheriffs above him. And he's an African-American, and he was bypassed for a promotion that he really should have got. And the Black Caucus came, and they got him all riled up. And they said, you know, we're going to have to fight this. And I'm not saying there aren't times for that, but it came into my office. And he said, I want to take that, you know, I should take this on. And I said, okay. I said, but I want to ask you a question. I thought you were called to pastor the entire police department. Do you think fighting like that is going to do it? If that's what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do, I'm not saying there's not injustice, and I'm not saying there's time to fight, but I think you're called to pastor the sheriff's department. He said, I agree. He went in. By the way, now he's been promoted. He'll be running for sheriff in 2021. He's gone all the way up the ranks, pastoring people.
Amen.
He's called on when there's funerals. He's called into situations as a, you know, chief deputy, and I think now he's a captain, whatever he is. But I'll tell you what, he pastored, and God gave him favor. You know what? I'll tell you one very simple way to know if you're pastoral. You're watching a movie and you start to forget it's a character. And you start to pray for them. Lord, be, or even the next day you're praying for the care. Oh no, that was a TV show. Why? Because you were created to carry one another's burdens. And if we can raise you up, we can pastor. Listen to this. You can pastor Sunland Tahunga.
Wow, that's good.
Our job, if we have a true fivefold and we really raise it up here, our job isn't to pastor this church. It's to pastor the region. How many of you are pastoral? Based on this description, raise your hand. Let me see your hands. Okay. Wow. Usually it's about 1/3. That's what happened. Well, let me get going. Keep going. The next one is the teachers. And the teachers care for people, but they care differently. Okay? The way they care is that they love truth and the Word of God. You know, the pastoral person, the first question they're saying is, how are you doing? But the teacher is asking, does this person have integrity? Does this person keep their word? Does this person communicate principles for godly living? For example, you ask one person, they'll say, why do you tithe? They go, well, I'm supposed to. But you ask a teacher why they tithe, they will say, I totally understand that it's God's way of sowing and reaping, and I want to obey the word of God. See the difference? It's not just a concept, it's a truth for their life. Teachers show us how to build firm foundations in our life. And they help us stay true to a purpose. So if we say, oh, God gave me that job, and the next week we have a hard time, you go to the pastoral person, and they're going to go, it's okay, God will be with you. But you go to the teacher, and they say, hey, you told me last week that God gave you that job. What's the purpose he's trying to teach you? Does that feel very encouraging? No. But teachers want to remind you that your word has power, and what you say reflects who you are. And if you say one thing and do another, you're not living in unity and integrity. And so teachers love to, sometimes they're a little overzealous in it. But that's their passion, because they feel like if we don't have truth, and if we don't have that integrity, it's going to be very hard for you to come into what you're called to be. They hunger for deeper understanding and revelation. I love teachers. You know, one thing I love about them is, I had this one guy, he'd studied every book on biblical finance and everything, and I asked him if he'd teach it. And he says, no, I've just got so much more to learn. That's a teacher. They've gone to every seminar, every workshop. They've read every book, but they still say, oh, I just have more to learn. Why? Because teachers understand that it's line upon line. Truth upon truth, precept upon precept, that you're always growing in your understanding of truth in a different way. I had a teacher in my church. He came to me one time and he says, you know, the Lord's showing me to tithe, but he's saying, don't tithe on what I make. He says, tithe on what I want to make. That's a teacher. He's believed in it so much, opening up the heavens. He came up to me 3 months later and says, I guess I better increase my tithe because I'm already making what I wanted. He lived it. There's an attack to be judgmental when facing injustice or dishonesty. Even on the pastoral, they can feel overburdened. It's hard to say no. Every anointing has an attack. How many know that if I listen to the attack in your life, I can tell you what your anointing is? Because the enemy attacks where it's important. So teachers, guess what the enemy does? He wants to make you get an injustice, grab onto something that's not true, and all of a sudden you take the bait and you get snagged. You're supposed to set people free. You're supposed to disciple them, bring them through humility into truth, and they will be set free. Amen? How many of you would say, okay, based on this description, I think I've got a teacher anointing? I love teachers. They're powerful. How many half a hands? How many can raise their hand? How many won't raise their hand no matter what I say? Okay. This was just trying. That was a teacher, by the way, for a moment. I just want to know if you can, because I think there's more teachers in this room. All right, the next one. Traits of the prophetic anointing. You desire, the first question is first question is, how are they doing? The teacher, do they have integrity? The first thing a prophetic person asks you when they meet you is, Lord, what are you saying to them? Okay, that's their first time. I mean, I get in an elevator. Do you know how awkward it is when you get a word in an elevator? Because what do you do? Like, stop it? Look, can I stop this for a second? I mean, you know, that doesn't go very well. But I get words for, you know, waiters. I get them for flight attendants. I mean, I get words all the time. It's not something I try to do. It's just a flow. And that's what this is. You seek revelation from the Spirit through visions and dreams. I mean, remember one time we were felt led to move to a community, and my wife and I prayed, Lord, are we supposed to move there? And my wife even saw totally the inside design, the blueprint of the home. So we just look at a house, go, Ann, is this one? She goes, nope. And we kept looking, and then we found it. You know, things like that. That God speaks through, by the way, He speaks through visions and dreams. In the Christmas story alone, there's four dreams. You know, all throughout the Bible, people are having visions and encounters. And we believe that those are for today. They're all tested with Scripture, by the way. Every one of them. But you know what? Do you know that I live in Tahunka? And you guys, many of you know this story. When I moved from Portland, Oregon, God told me the name of the home to Google. And I Googled it, and it was in Tahunka, and it was open house the next day. And there was only one house. I mean, that's, I can't find a Bible verse that says, move into that home. They said, why do we need to hear His voice? We have the Bible. I need to hear His voice for things that He doesn't say. Not talking about overriding truths. Those are measured by Scripture. But there's no verse in the Bible that tells me what house to move into. Or what to invest in.
That's good.
God tells me how to invest, specifically with numbers. Because I've learned that if I ask God, James 1, He'll give me wisdom. And the more, I want to give you just a quick secret in your relationship with God. He loves specific questions, not general ones. He loves it when you ask Him. And trust Him. And learn to hear from others. You discern God's heart, purpose. You speak words from the Lord to strengthen and encourage people. You know, I go around the world, and sometimes being on airplanes, and I love massage, you know. And I always look for professional, really good places, and then I take a team. I'll take all of you. We'll just show up after the meeting, and there'll be 10 of us. Here, we're ready for massage, you know, and it's fun. But there was just this happened in the Philippines. A woman was giving me a massage, and all of a sudden, I heard the Lord say, ask her what happened 5 years ago, because she won't be comforted. And I want to comfort her today. I'm sitting there, look, can I wait till the end of the massage? God doesn't like to do that. I've got so many stories of masseuses coming to Christ. I mean, it's amazing. But anyway, I said to her, what happened 5 years ago? She goes, I had a baby boy and he died on the ninth day. And I said, I'm so sorry, but the Lord told me that you refused to be comforted. It's like it happened yesterday. And she started crying. And she said, that's why I work so much. I can't even be home. Because all I can think about is that little boy. And I said, God weeps that has wept too, like Jesus wept. But today, see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians that we comfort others with the comfort we've received. And the Lord told me, you're going to comfort literally thousands and thousands of people, but you'll never come into that unless you get comforted first. I said, would you be willing to be comforted right now? And so she started weeping. She's doing this. And after that, it was just like it transformed her in a moment. And I said, all right, now you're ready to comfort others. Would you mind comforting me now? I said, I want you to pretend you're massaging not my back, but my heart. And she started to do it. And she said, you know what? You had a loss too. Very recent. And I said, it's true. My father-in-law died just the month before. I said, look, you're already starting to come into your destiny. Literally, she came to me the next day, and I did not recognize her when she said hello. Her countenance was that different.
Praise God.
You know, if the prophetic is new to you and kind of weird, it's because people have abused it. In this house, we don't abuse it. It's pure. It's humble. It's submitted. None of us is more special than others. None of us hears more importantly. We all hear together and we test it with Scripture. And we test it with one another. But this is a prophetic house. We interpret life events and people through the seeing and the Spirit. Do you know that Bob Jones prophesied 10 times that when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl? That's what he did. I'm saying it's documented. When they win the Super Bowl, it will be an indication that the end time revival has begun.
Are the Chiefs playing today?
Yes. Now, if you bet on the 49ers and you're a 49 fan, it's all good, okay? I'm not trying to say that. But he also, on the same day or the same week, he prophesied a meteor that would be discovered and its name and the date, and it actually happened. So this guy's heavy duty, okay? I don't know if it's going to be today, but guess what? I want the end time revival. Prophets interpret life.
You're rooting for the Chiefs.
Well, I'm going to now because, you know, I'm actually a Ram fan from childhood, okay? So I'll wear my Ram jersey. I'm just telling you that prophets can speak into, as a whole, they speak into strength and comfort and encouragement. But sometimes God gives them, like in this region, for example. Do you know there are some prophetic people in this room? When you look in this region, you see things that no one else sees. You see the attacks. You see how the enemy's working. You see the ley lines with the drugs. You see a lot of things. It's in the spirit. You've been recovery of sight to the blind. That's prophetic.
Amen.
Some of you in this room are far more prophetic than you think you are. You think you're pathetic. No, I'm kidding. You're not. You're prophetic. You are hearing and seeing God, and you need to be in a culture that teaches you. And guess what? The prophetic people teach you how.
School of prophetic.
That's good. The School of Prophetic starting on February 6th. This Thursday.
Yeah.
How many of you think one of your main two, are prophetic?
What if the Chiefs win?
You know.
It's going to be so awesome.
Just go read, listen, and, you know, I know pink people can be off. I just wanted to mention it, too. I thought it was pretty interesting. Wesley Campbell, by the way, staying in my home, if you've ever heard of him, and Stacy Campbell. But Wesley's in our home today, and he told me about it last night. The last one is, the next one, gosh, I need to go in here, the evangelistic anointing. You have a genuine concern for those who do not know Jesus, all right? Meaning, you not just have you just don't want people to be saved. You really have a love for them, and you share eagerly what's important to them. What's important? I mean, today I couldn't believe it. I've never seen an evangelist get up and want to just give you everything, you know, and motivate you with laptops. It's not bribery. It's just saying, I want you to carry what I carry. I want you to, and I'll do what it takes to help teach you. They like new people and to be in new situations. They love the gospel.
Yeah. This
is, you know, I went up to Pastor David today and I said, you know, at the end, what would you like? And he says, we always present the gospel and give an opportunity for people to accept Jesus. Why? Because I believe that one of his fivefold, in part, is he's evangelistic.
That's right.
All right? And he has compassion for those who are imprisoned by their sin. We don't look at people and go, gosh, you know, if they just get a job. You know, that's not compassionate.
And keep it.
Compassionate says, I love you. Now, maybe helping them get a job along the way would be good. But there's a lot of times, a lot more factors to be dealt with. A lot of pain, a lot of brokenness, addiction, whatever. And the evangelist has compassion. How many of you are evangelistic?
Yeah, I am. I have to say so, yes.
Okay. And the last one is the apostolic. The apostolic is basically the easiest way to put it is it's always the big picture. It's the whole. It's seeing everyone work together. You know, Pastor David is actually, I believe Pastor David is actually an apostolic teacher as his primary core. I believe his love for lost comes from his understanding of the Great Commission to make disciples of nations, of regions. He doesn't talk about just this church. If you look on a website, it talks about the region from the beginning. The walk in the door. We have a heart for Sunland, Tahunga, and beyond. We yearn for unity in the body of Christ. Look at starting this month for 4 weeks. You're going to be doing the same Bible study sermon series, and you're going to meet together on March 1st.
Awesome.
That's apostolic church. Mm-hmm. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom and about us working together. They see the larger picture and how everyone can be a part. I mean, I love it. Like at the table back there, where's the young girl and her mom that were setting up the donuts? Lips. Right? I mean, I love that stuff. Not just the mom, but the daughter. Hey, putting out donuts. Next week they're going to put out cucumbers and tomatoes, but don't sweat the donuts. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, I look for those kind of things. When I go in the doors, I'm looking for multi-generations working together. 3 and 4 generations. I'm looking for ethnic diversity because that's what heaven looks like.
That's right.
I like economic diversity because whether we're rich or poor, the fact is that we're all rich in Christ and we are equipping people. Yeah. That's apostolic thinking. Moves in spiritual authority that people willing respond to. I'll go to traditional conferences. They'll introduce me as pastor, but by the end of the conference, 9 times out of 10, they're introducing me as apostle. Why? I think that they sense real authority. And when they see the signs and wonders that accompany it, which Paul said the signs and wonders accompany apostles, right? They say they see it. But guess what? I don't need to tell anybody. I'm not going to tell you who I am. The Spirit will tell you. But that's true about everybody in your life if you let them. People all around you that God's given you were given to heal you and equip you. Sometimes they're your spouse, your children. Yeah, the family is God's unit of healing, first and foremost. And it brings people from various groups together for one purpose. What unites us here? Whether we're Chief fans or 49er fans? No. We love you, you know, no matter what. I'm a true Ram fan. I'm kidding. No, as a child, watching Roman Gabriel, you know, 5 years old. But guess what I love? I love passion. And I love when I see passionate people. Like today. I mean, they were so excited to do communion and take the offering and give announcements. David was up here. I thought the guy was going to take off like a rocket. There was so much enthusiasm. I love passion. Apostolic, guess what, creates a passionate atmosphere where everyone is a part of what God is doing. Amen. How many of you are apostolic based on some of this definition? All right, let's just try something for fun. In faith, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask all five. If you think your primary is, for example, pastoral, raise your right arm when I do this. If you think that teaching is your secondary, raise your left hand. If you think apostolic is your tertiary, which is your third, you can raise your right leg. But I'm asking, please, don't raise both legs, okay? Just one leg is the limit, all right? Also, there's no fivefold police, though. We're not going to go, hey, you already raised your hand twice, you know. Instead, we just keep our hand up. And I want, the goal is, I'd like to see you by faith, every hand in this room, at least right hand up, and a lot of left hands open. And sure, if there's a few right legs out there, it's all good. So keep your hands up. Don't put them down to the end. Okay? So keep it up. So if you're pastoral, keep it up. Once I go through all five. If you're pastoral, raise your right hand or your left hand. Keep it up. If you're teacher, raise your right hand or your left hand. If you're evangelistic, raise your right hand or your left hand. If you're prophetic, raise your right hand or your left hand. If you're apostolic, raise your right hand or your left hand. Or your leg. Well, hey, we got a lot of people. I've got a lot of people that haven't raised any of their hands, and that's okay. Not a lot, but a few. Now, what do you do with this?
Reach out to others. Praise the Lord.
You look in the mirror.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord is on me. I'm anointed for a purpose. And you start to declare what those mean together. And guess what? Your secondary is your flavor. Some of you are Cajun. Some of you are Italian. It's the way you do it. So if you're pastoral, but you're really a teacher, you want to help people learn how to heal their heart. But if you're pastoral prophetic, you want to teach them how to get encounters with God to heal their heart. And if you're pastoral evangelistic, you want to go out and find the people that need the comfort. See, your secondary is the one that steers you. I equate it to a rifle. Your primary is the sight here, and your secondary is the sight at the end of the rifle that points you in the direction. Amen? And let me just bless you and close. You know, I feel like if there's anyone here today, we're going to have, is the team come over here? Is that where they go?
For? Yeah, they come. Just call them.
You know, if you've never, like, accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've heard the gospel, you kind of know it, but you really know in your heart of hearts that you've never said, Jesus, come into my life, and I want you to come into my life. We're going to have a team over here. And if you would like to do that, you could even just raise your hand. I would like to see if there's anyone here. I know sometimes they close their eyes. We're a family. We're going to go crazy if you do. But if there's anybody here, want to raise their hand for that? If not, you would more private, come on over here. But for the rest of you, if there's anybody here that wants to run the race and chase their destiny with greater fervor and focus, stand up. If you want to run the race,
yeah.
And you want to chase your destiny, stand up. I want you to repeat after me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. And He's anointed me.
He's anointed me.
For a purpose.
And the purpose is.
Start to declare, like, for example, mine's apostolic, but that's not enough. I start to say, I want to bring people into freedom. I want people to come in. I proclaim anointed to bring people into their purpose. I'm prophetic. I want people, Lord, I'm anointed to help people hear your voice and have encounters. If you're pastoral, you'll say, I want, Lord, help heal hearts. And you start to declare who you are and the blueprint over your life. I feel that right now there's going to be a very special anointing fall in this room. And the anointing's for those who are suffering from chronic fatigue. You are tired to the core of your being. And I believe that today, as you get prayer from the team, that there's going to be a freshness come upon your life. And there's going to be a heaviness that's going to be lifted off of you. You know, sometimes I believe that depression is real. And I believe sometimes it's deeply embedded in some emotional experiences and memories. But I believe some depression is demonic oppression.
Amen.
How do you know the difference? Well, you can learn that in RTF, okay? But the difference sometimes is a matter of you commanding that spirit to leave. And you can bind, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And I feel like there's an anointing today for you to have that new and fresh start for your purpose. And if you've been a person who said, you know what, I don't have value, I don't have a call, I don't know what my calling is, I don't know how to hear God and those kind of things, I want to pray today that you'll walk out of this place, in a sense, with that erased off of you.
Amen.
And instead it'll be by faith, I'm going to walk into that anointing I have and I'm going to chase the measure. And I have, thank you, God, I have a church that's going to teach me how to do that.
Amen.
So, Father, in Jesus' name, I give a father's blessing, and a blessing as an apostle. And I declare this blessing over you, that him who began a good work in you will complete it. And I declare over you right now that as you seek the Lord for your purpose, he will give you greater clarity in this next season than you've ever had in your life. And you'll chase it, not only using your gifts from above, the fivefold gifts, but all the gifts to discover who he's called you to be. I speak a blessing for you to know who you are in Christ. And I speak a blessing of healing, especially for those that have chronic fatigue. In the name of Jesus, amen.